Hi, this is Dr. Bob Hariri, and this is Piloting Health.
Welcome to a new evolution in the treatment of serious diseases and technologies for the extension of lifespan. Join Dr. Robert Hariri, co-author of New York Times bestseller, Life Force, on an exploration of the medical breakthroughs that are changing health as we know it. This is Piloting Health.
Our objective at Piloting Health is to give you strategies and give you a foundation, a knowledge foundation that allow you to make the decisions to control the future of your health, much in the same way that a pilot creates a flight plan. And remember, a flight plan is your initial forecast on how you're going to get from point A to point B. But along the way, when I fly, and I have a flight plan between New York and California, for example, I still am making mid-course corrections all the time based upon the information and the data and what I learn along the way. I want health to be driven in exactly the same manner, where the equipped pilots of our own health make decisions about what to incorporate in their nutritional strategies, what they incorporate in their treatment strategies, how they manage problems, when a health crisis develops. What do you do? What are the steps you take that will maximize and give you the absolute best outcome? And that outcome is not only in your lifespan, but also the quality of your life. And we're going to talk a lot here on Piloting Health about maintaining and preserving the optimum performance in your life. Performance when it comes to mobility, your cognitive functions, how you're thinking, how your mind works, your immunity. Your immune system has to be operating at peak efficiency. And we want to all keep that edge, that youthful edge, by maintaining our youthful aesthetics. So for those of you who know me, you probably understand that a lot of the way I approach things is based upon my life's experience, and a great part of my life has revolved around the field of aviation. And as a young kid growing up in Queens, New York, literally living right between two major airports, John F. Kennedy Airport and LaGuardia Airport, I used to sit on the roof of my apartment building and watch the airplanes fly back and forth and land at these two major hubs. And I decided, probably around 10 years of age, that my future, I was going to be a pilot. My dream was to be a Pan Am 747 captain and fly all around the world and live this incredibly glamorous life with the best airplanes on the planet. And literally started flying when I was 13 years of age. And what aviation taught me is that we can literally control everything in our lives by understanding the technology that you're using, being the absolute master of controlling that technology, and then evaluating every event in your life on the basis of the successes and the failures, and you play up the successes, you downplay the failures, and you wind up incorporating the best approaches to maximize your outcome. It's sort of like when you file a flight plan to go from John F. Kennedy Airport to Los Angeles International Airport. That flight plan is designed to give you the optimum route in terms of flying through the best conditions, the best weather, the best winds, the best altitude, etc. We can actually do the same thing. We can approach our health and our life the same way. We can maximize and optimize our health by understanding, you know, what gives me the least headwinds, the least health headwinds. Maybe that's a term we're going to start using, health headwinds. So an example of health headwinds are, you know, as we get older and our cardiovascular system stops working the way we want it to, hypertension, what we used to think are potential predictors or factors which will drive things like cardiac disease, high cholesterol, and so on. Consider these things as headwinds. And how do you approach headwinds? Well, you find a way around them, or you just muscle through them. So in terms of our approach and our sort of philosophy around health is that there's no doubt we're going to hit turbulence along the way, but There's nothing to fear about that, because we're going to get through that turbulence and we're going to identify ways to maximize the outcome and the success of the mission. So I think everybody knows that aviation is one of the safest industries we know of. I think it's remarkable that the progress made in aviation has occurred over a very, very compact period of time. Think about this for a second. From Kitty Hawk, where the Wright brothers flew basically a box kite, and I think the maximum distance they flew in the first flight was about 200 feet. Imagine that from Kitty Hawk to landing on the moon only took 66 years. So in less than an average human lifespan, we went from being ground laden and stuck on the earth to being able to get all the way off this planet to another celestial body. That's pretty remarkable. We should be able to do the same thing in medicine, in healthcare. We should be able to advance the technologies so that we can literally eradicate diseases in a single human lifespan. And it's one of the reasons why I've been so interested in the really exciting emerging field of regenerative medicine and cellular medicine, because these are tools that literally transform how the medical profession, how practitioners can approach disease. And these are tools that can literally change your biology. And so in some ways, it's like when we first started flying, and you, for those of you who ever follow this stuff, look at airplanes from 70 years ago. Straight wings, very boxy. Look at them today. Swept back wings, what we call the Delta configuration, very, very sleek, aerodynamically sound fuselage designs. These are all evolutions in design that maximize performance. Think about if we do the same thing for our health. If we find what's the best health design that's going to maximize your performance. So as an example, I often talk about how important muscle tissue is to overall health, and how important muscle is to longevity and to performance as we age. Well, it turns out that there's a really good fundamental biological reason behind that. Muscle tissue, which makes up in the average person over 50% of the wet body mass, is also the largest venous capacitance organ in the body, which means that that the circulating blood that contains your immune system, much of your immune system, and also contains many of the stem cells that are responsible for regenerating and renovating your organs and tissues through your lifespan, they spend a lot of time in that part of the circulation. Now, in the low-pressure venous side of the circulation, you know, in the circulatory system, you've got the high-pressure arterial system, which delivers blood, and the low-pressure venous system, which returns blood to the heart. In the low-pressure venous system in skeletal muscle, you actually have a very, very large number of cells from your immune system and a very large number of the stem cells that are coming from your bone marrow and from other tissues. They spend time sequestered in that low pressure part of the circulation on the venous side of your muscle tissue, and it allows those cells to be sort of on alert, on demand, to be mobilized and move throughout your body in response to any injury or illness that you might have. Now, let me put this into a kind of a practical description so that people understand. When you are combating an illness, when you're responding to an injury, you want your immune system and you want your regenerative system. So when we talk about stem cells, I'm going to refer to it as your regenerative system. You want both of those to be available and easily mobilized to respond to the problems that may arise in your body. And nature's designed it that way. But if you take steps to maximize the quality, quantity, and integrity of your muscle tissue, you consequently improve the quality, integrity, and performance of your immune system, as well as your regenerative system. So think of those as important strategies to always have in the back of your mind. And it also means that when you are faced with a health challenge, and the health challenge might be something as simple as waking up in the morning and just not having enough energy to want to go to work, or it can be that you've been recently diagnosed with an illness, even something serious like a cancer, you should be thinking about, what can I do today to create an early response to the problem? And so I tell folks, hey, if you're not feeling all that great, go out and exercise. Exercising those muscles helps mobilize and traffic that part of your immune system, that part of your regenerative system, to get to the places where they can actually do the greatest benefit. And even things like massage, like physical therapy, all of these things actually help, just like exercise does, to mobilize and recruit those important components of your immune system and regenerative system to get to the site where they're needed. So as we get to know more and more about stem cells, cellular medicine, regenerative therapy, we're going to talk a lot about which tissues, which organs in our body play the greatest role in maintaining the quality of those systems, and making them available to respond to the challenges we have in our health throughout our lifetimes. So everybody out there is a beneficiary of the tremendous progress that's been made in the field of aviation. And everyone knows aviation is one of the safest industries, and flying is one of the safest activities you can engage in, right? You're safer in an airplane than you are in your own family automobile. Well, the reason behind that is that aviation, largely because aviation is dominated by the engineering mindset, aviation learns from its mistakes. Okay, so we have a couple of important concepts in aviation, right? When you have a crisis, you have to climb, communicate, and conserve, and those fundamental principles can be applied to anything you do in your lifetime. All right. So even in your health, when you're facing a health crisis, climbing means, okay, you know, I should take steps right now to do everything that I do in my life at the absolute best I can, which means get the right amount of rest, get the right amount of exercise, eat the right nutritional elements. That's the climbing part as far as I'm concerned. Communicate. You need to actually communicate and be speaking to those that are going to be part of finding a solution for your problem. And conserve is obviously you want to make certain that you don't exhaust something that's necessary to maximize your health. So you obviously don't want to use up your reserve of immune cells necessary to protect you. So these are all concepts that we can be talking about from time to time. And just, again, kind of marrying or blending what we know in aviation to healthcare is important. So let me get back to the concept of why aviation is so safe. I mentioned before that we went from Kitty Hawk to landing on the moon in 66 years, remarkable accomplishment. I often say landing on the moon in July of 1969 was the greatest accomplishment in human history at the time. Interestingly, I think we could have leveraged that, and I'm so thrilled that people like Elon Musk are out there pushing the envelope so we can get beyond the moon to Mars and beyond and so on. But let's talk for a second about how aviation has learned from its successes as well as its failures, and how it makes certain that a failure isn't repeated. So what's the one thing that people think about in aviation? They think about, well, aviation accidents. And for those of you who pay attention to this, aviation accidents of real significance are extremely rare. And in large part, that's because aviation is dominated by engineering mindset. And engineers in general tend to approach problems by doing what's called a root cause analysis, where they actually interrogate the origins of the problem, the causality, what actually is responsible for leading to a problem developing and growing and kind of becoming out of control. And then they take steps to make certain that those problems are properly identified, the root cause is properly identified, and then what steps can be taken so that that problem never occurs again. You probably can think about how the aviation field responds to an accident. And one of the things you often hear about is, hey, you know, Boeing had a problem with a new aircraft, the 737 MAX, and the minute that the problem happened and then reoccurred, the fleet was grounded. All those airplanes were taken out of service until they figured out what was underlying this failure. And very quickly, the root cause analysis was identified and steps were taken to immediately make certain that that would not recur. And so procedures were changed. In some cases, technology, the hardware was changed, the software was changed. And that makes certain that the same problem doesn't recur over and over and over again. Now think about applying that same thing to medicine and to healthcare, all right? So we haven't done a great job in healthcare and medicine at devoting enough attention, in my mind, to the root cause analysis of certain diseases. I'll give you an example. Cardiovascular disease. Okay, when I was in medical school, cardiovascular disease, we were educated and taught that it was all about metabolism and fat and cholesterol in your diet, and that, you know, my goodness, eating any kind of fat was terribly dangerous. That's what gave you heart disease, and it gave rise to taking things like bacon and eggs out of our diet for breakfast, because we were convinced that was the cause of our cardiovascular disease. And then over time, we began to recognize that probably wasn't the case, and that the culprit wasn't fat, wasn't cholesterol in our diet. The culprit was actually sugar, was actually the damaging nature of sugar and carbohydrates. But if you think about the original response to, oh, the problem is fat, problem is cholesterol, is we literally shifted our diets from protein and fat to carbohydrates and complex carbohydrates. I remember as a kid, my mom didn't want us to eat bacon and eggs in the morning. She wanted us to eat cereal. And we all know that cereal and complex carbohydrates can be more of a problem than a benefit. So What I want to try and do is get people to recognize we can learn from one industry and apply it to others. And I have always tried to use what I've learned in aviation and apply it to healthcare, biology, and medicine. And I think that in the long run, it's going to help us and help prevent us from continuing to have the same problem over and over and over again. So let's talk a little bit about the treatment of degenerative diseases and aging. One of the things we know is that our mobility as we age declines in large part because of two problems. One is the quality of our muscle tissue, the health and integrity, the strength and endurance of our muscle tissue declines, and that declines as a part of a process. The process is called sarcopenia. Sarcopenia muscle loss is an insidious process that takes place literally from your 20s all the way through to your advanced years. And that slow erosion of the quality and integrity of your muscle tissue diminishes your performance. Now, the consequence of diminished mobility performance is that you don't exercise enough. Not exercising enough means it has an impact on your metabolism, and it has an impact on your weight, on your immune system, and so on. So when I think about how to approach your age-related problems, again, I want to take that same kind of root cause mindset and say, well, what caused the sarcopenia to begin with? The muscle loss? A big part of that is slow chronic inflammation. And inflammation, as we know, is a process that is is important. Inflammation is how we respond to injuries and illness. But when left unchecked, chronic long-term inflammation is highly erosive to your the quality of your organs, tissues, and ultimately your health. And so measures that we take today should always take into account that the root cause of loss of mobility has its origins in injury, followed by inflammation, followed by chronicity, chronic inflammation, and that slowly erodes one of the most important organ and tissue systems in your body, and that will have a negative effect on your health over time. So if you take steps early on to reduce inflammation and then incorporate strategies to return and build your muscle back to where it was, you'll maximize your health, you'll maximize your mobility performance, and that will provide great benefits to all the other associated systems. As you lose the quality, quantity, and integrity of your muscle tissue, you have a negative effect on your joint systems. The joints need to be properly supported by a high quality muscular system. And if you don't do that, you eventually begin to damage your joints. So things like osteoarthritis, which is a cumulative degrading of your joints, plagues many of us as we age. And if we take steps to understand the root cause of that and go back and take steps to prevent muscle loss, to improve the quality of our joints with nutritional products and so on, and to address inflammation with everything from techniques like using hypothermia, ice, to using the right kind of anti-inflammatory strategies, all those things will help preserve the quality of your joints, quality of your muscle tissue, and will maintain your high-performance mobility. Hi, this is Dr. Bob Hariri. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Piloting Health. If you've enjoyed what you heard, we'd love for you to share this episode with one of your friends or a colleague, and be sure to leave a review. This is one of the best ways to help the show grow and get more people to reach their destination of a longer, healthier life.